Well, time for the America Report. Just gone 6:43 p.m. Central African Time, Radio Islam International. And joining us for this evening's America Report, Brother Edward Ahmed Mitchell, Deputy Director, CARE, National Vice President, National Association of Muslim Lawyers, joining us live from Atlanta, USA. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Edward Ahmed.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me. How are you?
And shukran, doing well. Alhamdulillah, Brother Edward Ahmed, and we trust Ramadan went well. The days after Eid, yours and the family went well as well. And jazakumullah khairan for making some time for us.
Yes, alhamdulillah, no problem at all.
You know, Brother Edward Ahmed, we've seen a number of anti-Muslim, anti-Jewish, Arab and Palestinian attacks, especially in the recent days. And this is, of course, the after the killing and even before the killing, in fact, of journalist Shireen Abu Akleh. But several new national and regional Muslim organizations have endorsed a joint statement expressing unified support for Palestinian human rights and rejecting the ADL. Now, this is the Anti-Defamation League. The director, Jonathan Green, Blatt's slander against Muslim, Jewish, Arab, and all types of Palestinian activists. Talk to us about this, this joint move, and what does it entail, and what did Mr. Greenblatt actually say?
Sure. So, look, for years, American Muslims and pretty much anyone who advocates for Palestinian human rights ends up facing some very disgusting, unfair, bad faith attacks launched by anti-Palestinian groups who do not want to see our country, the United States, become more supportive of Palestinian human rights. So whenever people speak up for Palestinian freedom, they are often attacked. They're sneered, accused of being anti-Semitic. And sadly, the Anti-Defamation League has spent years doing that. In fact, they once even spied on black and Arab activists back in the early 1990s, late 80s, because those activists were opposing South African apartheid, and the South African apartheid government was allied with Israel at the time. So a few weeks ago, this escalated when the director of the ADL, Mr. Jonathan Greenblatt, came out and he declared that that Palestinian activists, that people who support Palestinian human rights, that if those groups believe or support, for example, equality between Israelis and Palestinians in one state, that those activists are no different than white supremacists, than white nationalists, than the people who attacked the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. That was a really shocking and disgusting thing to say. So in response to that, you know, I think the Muslim community finally said, look, we've had enough. And so different Muslim organizations, pretty much every major Muslim group in the United States, came together to release a joint statement saying we all support Palestinian human rights, and what the ADL said was unacceptable, and it's just the latest unacceptable thing they have said. And it's very dangerous because this is a large group that is still considered mainstream in many circles, so they have a lot of weight, and so for them to attack the Muslim community in this way was just beyond the pale. So that's what we came together to reject, and alhamdulillah, we've seen a lot of support for this position now.
Moving on to matters coming out of course, Buffalo, and a little later on the LA, the shooting taking place in both cities, the cold-blooded murder, of people who were shopping on that afternoon. I mean, what has been to the general reaction? Of course, there's been outrage, but has it been covered in the way that it should in the mainstream media? Are they calling it a domestic terrorist attack? Are they calling it a white supremacist attack? Are those type of correct labels being used here?
For the most part, yes. There was a time when, white racist mass shooters, would get what you could call oddly sympathetic coverage in the media. They wouldn't be called terrorists. There'd be all sorts of discussion about their childhood, and you'd see these sympathetic pictures of them when they were younger. The media is getting better about that. Many media outlets are referring to this individual as what he was, a terrorist, a white supremacist, a racist. But still, there is still a clear difference in how the media covers a Muslim who commits a crime of violence compared to how they cover a white male who commits a crime of violence. So there's not equality yet in the same level of discourse. But the media has covered this much better than they've covered attacks in the past, I can say.
CARE holding its 11th annual Muslim Day at the Capitol. I mean, how did it go? And of course, Brother Edward Ahmed, whilst you're at it, I mean, if you could talk to us, what is the purpose of taking people to the Capitol? Who's actually visited? Is it just merely a walk through the White House lawns, or do they have an opportunity to interact with Congress members and senators and to see how the legislative system or the government of the U.S. Works? I mean, talk to us about this Muslim Day at the Capitol.
Yes. So on an annual basis, before COVID anyway, American Muslim organizations would come together to host what's essentially a meet-and-greet, a lobbying day on Capitol Hill, where Muslims from all around the country would go to the United States Capitol and meet in person with their representatives, their senators, members of Congress, and their staff, and argue for causes of justice, whether that's, you know, economic justice, social justice, humanitarian foreign policy, you know, various issues. The issues change every year. And so this event will be held in June this year, inshallah. It's the first time we're doing it in person since the COVID pandemic started. And so it brings hundreds of Muslims together from around the country for this very important day to show the strength of the Muslim community, to show our ability to organize and to get active and to, hopefully cause some positive change in policymaking in Congress. So it's a very important event. And inshallah, this will be the first time we're back doing it since the pandemic.
Virginia's Fairfax County Police to renew search for the body of a murdered Muslim. Now, we spoke about this here, I think, with Brother Ibrahim. This was last week, and that was the body that was, allegedly dumped in some sort of a landfill. I mean, how is that going? I mean, are they resuming? Is the search currently underway? And are they any closer to any form of closure for the family?
Yeah, it's a very strange and disturbing case. So the killer, that is the murderer, has been arrested and caught. And the killer, well, killers, plural, confessed to dumping the body of this young Muslim, may Allah have mercy upon him, grant him paradise, dumping his body in a landfill in Virginia. Now, the police searched that landfill, but they did not find him and stopped the search, suspended the search completely. And so what we're saying is that, look, you have got to find this young man's body. He cannot be left in a landfill. That's unacceptable. If a prominent politician's son had been kidnapped and murdered and dumped in a landfill, I suspect they would never stop until they found, that prominent person's body. And so, a Muslim person of color deserves the exact same level of dedication. So we are calling on the police to resume the search. We've called on the county to direct the police to resume the search. And we just got to find this young man's body. They just can't give up. They've got to keep going and keep searching to find his body. Muslim victims of crime deserve the same level of consideration that every other victim of crime does.
Finally, Brother Edward, I mean, I know we always pose it to you guys, ending with a positive Muslim story. I mean, you got anything for us today? I suppose you've got that visit to the Capitol, but other than that, anything that comes to mind?
Well, yeah, so I would just note that, we are having elections right now in the United States. It's our primary elections for the upcoming midterm election. And there are a large number of Muslims running for office around the country. And even if they're not winning their races, they are making progress. They're getting their name out there. And that's very important to have Muslims at the table making policy. So we had a record number of Muslims running in 2020, and I think we're going to have a record number of Muslims running in 2022 for office across the country, inshallah.
Brother Edward Ahmed Mitchell, shukran jazakumullah khairan for joining us on Radio Islam International, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be with you in your good work and good attempts, and looking forward to talking to you in the future.
Ameen wa yakum. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum.